Hi, I'm Kim.
And I'm Danae. Welcome to Mysterious Mavens Podcast.
We are a true crime podcast, but we also like all spooky things.
Spooky things.
And most of all, we like to self-care for yourself. So what did you do this week for self-care, other than staying up till 10 with me right now?
This week, I started teaching again.
I'm so happy you started teaching again, because I texted you. I was like, are we going to record? And you're like, yeah, I teach. And I'm like, do you remember? I was like, I'm so excited.
Yeah. Yeah. So I've taken on two classes at my yoga studio.
If Danae's voice sounds a little lost, that's why.
That's why, because I was teaching sculpt today and I was yelling at people to do burpees.
Mom, sometimes you need to do burpees.
It's been a while since I've yelled over music. So, yeah, it's been good being back at the studio, and, like, people showed up to class. They were like, we missed you. And I was like, yay, I missed you too.
How's your, was it a lot of work today? Was it just like, oh?
It felt really good.
What's the word I'm looking for?
Like exhausting, tired?
No, what's like the word, like resistance? No, not resistance. Endurance. How's your endurance?
I've been working really hard to get my endurance back up, so I felt like I was good.
Yeah. Like even, I'm saying like endurance goes away so quickly.
Oh, for sure.
Like it's insane how quickly it goes away. So.
Yeah. So I felt really good, and like it just like filled my heart. So I feel good. Being back.
I'm going to come to your classes because I need to be yelled at.
Please do. I love yelling at people.
You can punch me in the face and be like, do that. And I'll be like,
I won't punch
Danae,
you in the face.
I don't need a black eye for the wedding.
What did you do for your self-care?
For self-care, so last week we finished planning the wedding, and this week we paid for the wedding.
Boop, 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 boop.
Okay, I know it's like the least fun part of it, but it kind of felt good.
Well, it feels good to get it done.
Okay, because it was like 1,000, 1,500 less than I thought it was going to be.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
That's good
news. If you remember, I think I like vented about on here. So they gave us pricing. Like we've been planning this wedding since like pretty much right when we got engaged.
Yeah.
And they gave us pricing last year, and like the prices changed for the services we want by like $700.
You're like grandfathered in if you like.
So I like, we went to our final meeting and I was kind of like, and because I needed to know how much it was.
Well, yeah, obviously.
And I like went all defensive, and she was just like, no, you get the prices you signed up for. She's like, that's only fair. She's like, I'm not going to make you pay the prices now. She's like, I know they've gone up a lot.
Okay.
She's like, with inflation. She's like, but that's not what you signed up for.
Okay, cool.
So, like, she's going to get a 5 out of 5 for me, like, when I review it. Because I think you need to review it. But, like, I really appreciate that it wasn't just like, well, that's how it is. Because I was really stressed out about that.
For sure.
So, like, sleepless nights were spent on that. But, yeah so it's paid for, and I jokingly told Keith, I was like, so that means we like have to get married now.
Yeah, we're like, for sure.
So like,
married.
We kind of have to get married now. Like, no big deal. So yeah. Fun times.
Yay.
Marriage. Eventually my self-care won't be about marriage. Sorry, guys. Stick with it. Stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned to me going back to being like, I spent time with blah, blah, blah. So.
Yeah. Well, this week I'm going to tell you some Colorado lore.
My favorite subject.
So went a little bit away from, well, no, there's still some true crime in here, but.
I mean, but like the true crime, like nothing spooky happens without a little bit of true crime mixed
in. So this is, I kind of went down a rabbit hole actually because.
Easy to do.
I heard about this, well, I'm going to tell you the first, there's two stories. There's mm-hmm. two different lures where basically I found on Denver Public Library's website a couple different articles that were like super interesting where they were like, so here's a thing that people are talking about and here's the research we did to see if it's true.
So here's my question. Was this stoked. Because a lot of like when I do cases, it's kind of like a not necessarily a listicle, but like I'll be like scrolling through social media and I'll see something. I'm like, oh, I should cover that. Was this something that you went looking for or was it something that kind of came to you?
Yeah. So I was just kind of like looking for, cause I was like, I haven't done a Denver story in a while. You know, I love some old stuff. And I was like, but I kind of want to do some like haunted stuff. So I just started looking for like haunted Denver like yeah. things. And then I came to the Denver Library website and there's like so many great articles and
oh absolutely
specifically like this week I really leaned heavily on research by Katie Rudolph.
Okay.
Like this girl like
does a good job.
Does an amazing job. So she from what I've gathered, she works at the Denver Library in the Western History and Genealogy Department. So
I didn't know there was even that. Like, it makes sense.
Yeah,
it
but it's sense. So cool. So there's just a couple articles. Like, she did one that was like 6 spooky stories from the Western History and Genealogy blog archives. And then also there's a couple articles off of that. But it's all by Katie Rudolph. So Katie Rudolph, get it, girl. You're fucking
awesome.
You're
killing it. We're proud of you.
Love you.
We need someone to do that. Funny quick story I just thought about. The other day I was hanging out with my dad. My dad's like, you know what case you guys should cover? I'm like, if this tells you anything about how often he like looks into mysterious mavens, he's like, did you know that one of the Coors brothers or one of the Coors family members was kidnapped? And I'm like, yeah and dad murdered. Actually Danae covered that. And I was like, oh good, that's a good one. I'm like, that was like one of our earlier ones.
You're like you should listen to it.
Maybe listen to your daughter's podcast. I don't know. Parents. I just thought about them, like, right?
Okay, so the first one is basically there was a Colorado writer named Jesse Adeline Cole Phelps.
That's and a dope name.
I know, right? 1884, she wrote a poem called Skeleton and Ghost. So in the research that I found by Katie Rudolph, there was an article or blog rather that she wrote about Skeleton and Ghost, just a poem or an account of a Denver haunting. So basically,
did you read it?
Yeah. So was I'll it? Read you the poem.
Okay. I didn't know if it was a long poem or.
It's kind of a long poem, but it's kind of read like it. A, it's like a story okay. basically.
That's not too long.
So I'll read the poem. And then I'll kind of go into detail about, like, what research found. Okay. So, Skeleton and Ghost by Jesse A. Cole. This morning, as I and my two daughters were chatting at the breakfast table alone, for the meal was over and the boarders for some time had been gone, we were startled by the presence of a man. Where he came from, we didn't know, for he had fastened all the doors and found they yet were so.
Oh, that's creepy.
But there he stood, 5 feet from us. His eyes wore a ghastly glare. Our hair seemed standing on end. Each were riveted to the chair. We knew 'twas the ghost, which for some time had been... Sorry, it's kind of small.
Had been said, it is very small.
The house to haunt. And after 2 or 3 attempts, I said, well, sir, what do you want?
That sounds like you talking.
I know, right? I want you ladies to take care of my body, which now in the cellar lies. We were spellbound. Were we crazy? Could we believe our ears and eyes? Then he vanished in an instant. Ere another breath we drew, where did it go or how? 'Twas gone. Vanished like a dissolving view. The whatever it was gone. It didn't seem to go through the floor, nor the wall, or the windows, nor yet out of the door. Then Lou said, let's go into the cellar and see if there's a skeleton there, dude.
No, girl.
Finally, we mustered up courage and we went, though I confess we hardly dared to. We knew 'twas the rubbish stored, though we'd never yet been in it. Lou persisted, if we're going to search, we might as well begin it. So we went. The rain of the night before, we found it very damp. Lou entered first, then my mother, daughter, and I followed, carrying a lamp. Lou had armed herself with a garden hoe. With it... It's 1884, okay?
No, I'm glad they brought weapons. I was mad at them at first. Now I'm like, she brought a hoe. Good.
Lou had armed herself with a garden hoe. With it, she began prodding around and laughed at the idea of obeying a spook. But presently, the body was found. 'Twas in the far corner under the parlor, in a box that was almost square. Good heavens, we hadn't the slightest idea of finding a skeleton there. Immediately, we sent for Coroner McHatton, and presently the gentleman came, and the skeleton was taken to McGovern's, and visited by hundreds was the same.
Spooky. So here's my I have a little bit of a bone to pick.
Okay.
Haha, jokes. Skeleton. If I see a man trying to get in my house,
he was a ghost.
I don't think my mind's gonna be like, that's probably a ghost. Ignore it, ladies. Let's keep eating breakfast. I'm gonna say, the fuck is going on? And I'm not gonna be like, we should go to the cellar. I'm gonna call the cops. We're gonna get that.
He said that's where his body was.
Well, and he was right, and good on them for trusting him. If I've learned anything from 303, don't trust a hoe. Okay?
Oh my god. So, the background on this is basically the preface of the poem was that a boarding house at number 267 South 15th Street in Denver was said to be haunted. And ever since the owner, Dr. Williamson, had deserted it, no family lived there more than a month, for they declared they saw and heard ghosts.
Understandable.
Finally, Mrs. Perry, who is the one who is, that's her voice in the poem. She's telling the story. She moved there and kept a boarding house. So one day, she and her daughters were paid a visit by the ghost, and immediately after, they found a skeleton. So
good on them for trusting him. I'd be like, this is a... But you got to keep in mind, this is 2024.
Yeah.
And people are trying to break into houses all the time, so right. I'm on my side about this.
So basically, our girl Katie Rudolph from the Western History and Genealogy Department of the Denver Library, she did some digging. So she's like, okay.
Is this just a poem or is this a thing?
Yeah, happened? Like, did this actually happen? Yeah. And so in trying to see if a skeleton was found at 267 South 15th Street, there are no news articles, at least with what the Denver Library has, like, documented.
What's hard, too, is, like, nowadays, everything is posted.
Sure.
Absolutely everything. And at that point, the printing press was coming into its own, but it was a lot harder to produce stories because they had to literally print things word by word.
Sure.
So at that point, they probably didn't post it because it wasn't, like, a big news story. Or
they did, and we just don't have those articles.
That's
so what she said was that it doesn't mean that it didn't happen. However, it just means that not every single publication and not every single news article is, like, documented within the Denver Library.
Yeah, yeah.
So perhaps there could be an article out there that happened in 1884 that did become published, but we just don't
it's not in the archives.
In the archives, basically.
I'm just trying to be like, so the devil's advocate of maybe the cracks.
Katie writes, the poem mentions that Mrs. Perry sent for Coroner McHatton, and the skeleton was taken to McGovern's. So her question was, are there any records from the county coroner or mortuaries in the archives?
So smart.
So Coroner McHatton was the county coroner in 1884.
Okay.
They found reports in the Arapahoe County Coroner's Ledger from 1879 to 1891.
Wow.
However, they did not find a report of a skeleton being found in E.P. McGovern Undertakers sold to Horan Mortuary in the late 1880s. And basically, though they searched the Horan Mortuary records 1891 to 1960, the records don't date to the time period that we're looking for.
Of course not. So, shoot.
Dang it. We, like, tried to go down a little like avenue of like, is there any record of a skeleton? We couldn't find it, just because basically the county coroner didn't have reports. And then when McGovern Undertakers was sold to Horan Mortuary, there's no records of that dating to that time.
Yeah.
So missed so again. So
it's just by a hair it feels like too.
So not to say that this isn't real, but like we're not finding records.
But we don't have anything to back up the story.
So finally, did Dr. Williamson and Mrs. Perry, are these like real paper? Are these real people?
Are these real papers?
Yeah. So like, are they real people? So researching through the Denver Library directories, they were able to confirm that indeed a Dr. Williamson did live in Denver during the 1880s. His name was Dr. John W. Williamson, but he lived at 267 South 11th Street.
Not 15th Street. You know, and what, though? It wouldn't shock me if little details were mixed up.
Right, because people are, like, handwriting shit.
Yeah.
And he was there in 1881 and 1882. So he was around.
Yeah. Makes sense.
The directories did not indicate that Mrs. Perry lived at that address.
Is there a possibility that in her case there is somebody that was Miss Perry just in,
I don't know.
You know? Like,
or like maybe she, instead of using her like,
because there is maiden named Mary.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. You could go by either.
Yeah.
And like obviously they don't, like they're keeping handwritten records, so like maybe. So not to say that this isn't a real occurrence that happened, but perhaps it was inspired by real people. Perhaps it was inspired by real places. And maybe the writer was just getting all spooky and whatever. And she was like, wouldn't it be so fucking creepy if like you saw a ghost and a skeleton was found in your house? Think
about even today. And I'm using my favorite example of a movie. Tall Hot Blonde.
Your fave.
Hear me out. Okay. The guy's name was Thomas Montgomery, and the girl he talked to was Katie. In real life, her name was actually Jessie.
Okay.
So, like, it's stuff like that. It's, like, wondering, you know, even nowadays, we change the names and stuff.
Yeah, totally.
So, that's where I'm, like, Miss Perry could be, like, Miss
Carrie, or yeah, you could do something
exactly. else. Exactly. And that's what I'm wondering, too, is, like, she could have existed, but maybe they changed her name.
Right.
To protect her identity.
Totally.
So, that's where I'm, like,
because then, like, maybe if the poem gets published, you don't want to be, like, the lady who saw the ghost, you
know? Yeah, exactly. Because that's, like, her last name. Yeah. So, like, I mean, for me, like, think about, like, the kids in my life. I don't even like to say, like, their names or even their genders.
Yeah.
Like, unless, like, because you've consented to, like, your son, but, like, my sister has not consented to her children. So, like, even for them, I don't mention boy or girl or anything about them, because I'm like, you know, so I mean that could be a thing too.
Yeah, so
it's just you don't know who it's gonna reach, so why?
We don't know for sure, but
yeah,
perhaps there was a skeleton in the cellar.
That would be terrifying,
right?
Would you do if you found a? Because you kind of you
we have a crawl
you
space. Don't
have a basement. Yeah, you just crawl so space. Creepy. Thank you. But like, what would you do if you found a skeleton in there?
I'd probably cry and
I would hope you would police. Call me and be like, I have a story.
First the police, then you.
Well, I would, I would be like, why aren't you calling the police? But I'd be like, I need.
Yeah. So it's just an interesting, like, maybe almost like urban legend that perhaps there was a skeleton found.
Smart on her to check the mortuary, because that's like something I wouldn't think of. I'd be like, oh,
well. And if you work for the library, you've got all these access, you know, like you've got so much access to like literally all the
other
records
people don't
ever.
Even know about. Yeah.
So sadly, that location is obviously like no longer houses anymore. It's just like
work
on
15th buildings.
Street. It's like, yeah, it's like big work buildings. Like it's in the heart of downtown. So,
well, it's close like enough
we can go there
the
and visit.
Terrifying 16th Street.
Yeah. It's very close.
I don't
close
know if
to
you guys have been 16th Street. I wouldn't.
So yeah, we can't like go ghost hunting or anything, but I just thought it was like interesting. I'd never heard of,
but it would be hard.
It would be very hard.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't want to be near 16th.
But it was just kind of an interesting little story, Denver related. And then the second one I'm going to tell you about, it's a quicker episode today.
Well, last week was what, 2 hours?
Yeah. So this one is also sort of like an urban legend. This is the sort of lore of Riverdale Road.
I have a story to follow.
So this one, I used a couple different articles. Another one from Katie Rudolph. I'm not going to say it just because then it kind of gives away some stuff.
Riverdale Road is a scary road. There we go.
Yeah. Rewrote so it for you. Riverdale Road is an 11-mile long road connecting Thornton to Brighton. So
it's I know like, it's in Thornton area.
It's north of Denver, like past the city. And this is known as the most haunted road in the country.
I think we read the same article because I read it like recently.
The and
I
lore was like, on this is that there's a couple different things. There's a few different stuff going on with this road. Yeah. So one is that when you are on this road, if you stop, there is a phantom jogger who will come up and tap your windows.
Absolutely not.
Goodbye.
I yelled at a man downtown. I was in my car and Tressa and I were downtown and we were waiting for like some friends. This is 2018.
Okay.
And we were waiting for some friends to get down there. And some guy literally came up to my window and started tapping on it. And I lost my fucking mind on this man. I said, "You never walk up to two women in their car. Get the fuck away from my car." That's not me.
Well,
I
don't know who you got to be crazier than
but
the crazy.
But he was like acting like I was unreasonable. Like, he was like, "Whoa!" And I was just like, "What is wrong with you?" So, yeah, no. So, buy a jogger.
If you go there, stop on the road. You're supposed to like listen for tapping, and that's the phantom jogger.
Is it? Do they know where the tapping is? Like, is it always on like a window, or is it like on the
it's
back
on the
window?
Windows or like sides of your car?
Okay, so it's not creepy. Like consistently in the same spot. It's just
there's also a ghost Camaro that is seen driving along the road, okay. And it only has one headlight, so it's a padiddle, and like
right, is that what you do for a padiddle? You like
no,
hit the
you go
dashboard
padiddle kiss. And then hit the ceiling.
Okay, I know. I know when I did padiddle,
an article of clothing.
Oh well, you played it crazy.
What?
What you're supposed? The padiddle.
Was I a slut? No, I'm just kidding.
You're a slut. So what padiddle was when I like was 19? Because we were all you were probably 19, 18.
We were like high school.
Yeah. So what you're supposed to do is you hit the dashboard twice. Boom, boom. Quickly hit the ceiling with the back of your hand and then down again. So it's.
And no article of clothing has to be
removed? No, Danae. People keep on their clothes in this version.
Okay, well, we played it that you had to get naked.
Well, sometimes you have to get naked.
Sometimes people want to see boobs.
Okay, I have to ask, who was playing this game?
It was, like, me and all my friends. Like, girls and boys. Like,
oh, of course, boys. That's where I was waiting. Did you ever get naked because of padiddle?
No. It was always, like, you took off, like, your hoodie. Because you don't see, like, that many padiddles in one night.
No.
Maybe two at most.
I mean, a road trip.
Like, it's not like you're getting full-ass naked.
I couldn't help it. You get naked. But the Did hope you ever was get there. Naked? No. I took off my hoodie.
The hope was still there, you know? You might see some titties. So, well, for the boys, I guess.
Yeah, right.
It's like, I mean, you might see some boy muscles, I guess.
Oh, no. Not their muscles.
Oh.
High school boys' muscles.
Yeah,
what a
like,
joke.
Not the best. So, yeah, you would see the Camaro driving. It's one headlight. But then it just kind of, like, disappears into the night. And there's, like, wait, this car just passed me, but, like, where is it?
Yeah.
And then there's also...
It still counts as a padiddle. Take your top off.
Yeah, take your top off. So then there's also the, like, traditional urban legend of, like, seeing a
lady
lone woman in white hitchhiking on said road.
That was a guess. That was, I was like, is there a lady in white? Yeah,
traditional urban legend. So on Reddit, I read a few different like accounts of like people's experiences. Reddit shit. And one user said that like he and like four of his friends were in the car. They were driving down the road at like 1 a.m. and saw this girl walking. They were like, this isn't safe. Like, it's fucking
one in the morning. What are you doing?
So they saw that she was hitchhiking. They went to like flip a UB. And then when they did, she was gone. And they were all like flabbergasted. Like, no, we all saw her though, right? Like, we all saw her. And she was just gone.
So a classic urban legend with everything is a lady in white. Can I tell you a quick story? Okay, so Keith went on a bachelor trip to New Orleans. Mm. He's like, we did a ghost tour. I was like, okay.
It's always a lady in white.
Rude or red. Like rude. Rude as shit. And he was like, so there was this lady. And I immediately was like, was she wearing white? And was it her wedding day? And the groom left her.
She was so heartbroken. And
he looked at me. He's like, wait, did you... Like, because at this time, like, we were doing Mavens. That's like
every story ever.
Yeah, we were doing every Mavens. He's haunted... like, did you hear this story? I'm like, no, Keith. That is such a classic. You're like,
no, but let me fucking guess.
Yeah, it's a lady in white or a lady in red.
And her husband, her and fiance never returned. And she was heartbroken and killed herself. And she haunts the halls. Yeah, it's that's the
sometimes huge... you see her crying.
Yeah. You hear her wailing. She floats down the halls.
She was really sad about Jason.
So... those are all the kind of, like, we don't really have a lot. It's just, like, these are the spooky things you can experience.
What about a floating head?
No floating heads.
Okay. So, real quick story. Because I even mentioned this before, and you were like, oh, shit, I'm doing that story.
Yeah.
So, I know a guy named Russ, and he would always be like, oh, you like spooky things. I'm like, yeah. Like, didn't I? I fucking love it. And he's like... and he lived in Thornton or Brighton. I don't really know. It was really close to that area. And he was always like, you guys should go to Riverdale Road. And I've always like been like, yeah, we should go to Riverdale Road. Granted, like we needed to cover it, you know, at some point so we could go. We should go.
Oh, for sure.
But he constantly was like, did you do Riverdale Road this weekend? I'm like, no, I didn't do Riverdale Road. I'll eventually do it. And he would tell me all the weird stuff he saw. And there was a floating head. And at one point.
He saw a floating head?
Uh-huh.
Like.
Because his daughters were, like, 10, and they were, like, he's, like, they're weirdos. I love them, but they were, like, into, like, creepy stuff.
Sure.
So, and at one point, there was a doll hanging from a tree, and nobody touched it.
Ew.
Because they were really, like, it was a doll.
Well, yeah, don't touch it.
And I was, like, okay, a doll. Like, there's two things. Is it, like, a doll, like, a baby doll, like, that somebody played with?
Or a porcelain doll.
Or, like, a doll, like, a... person-sized.
Ew.
I was like...
like so a mannequin?
Yeah. And that's why I asked him, and he was like... it was just a regular doll. I was like, okay, because could you imagine if somebody, like, staged it to, like, mm-mm. be a mannequin or something?
Absolutely
like,
not.
That would be so fucking creepy. I
hate that.
But I think we need to go.
Yeah, like, let's definitely go. Let's see if that we'll tap our windows.
And I'll yell at him, do not approach. Granted, it's not just going to be you and me. We never.
No. Oh my God, no.
We're smart. But I'll be like, do not approach two women in a car alone.
So the main sort of urban legend story surrounding this road is that there was a man who had a big mansion built on this road. And one night he just went batshit crazy, burned his house down with his family inside.
I was about to say, did he have a family or was it just a single guy?
Yeah. And then he disappeared forever. They never found his body. He just vanished into the night.
Was his name John List or Robert List? I can't remember.
No. So our girl, Katie Rudolph, at the Denver Library was like...
did her due diligence.
Let's do some research. Clickety clack, clack, clack. And so she did some research, and she's like, was there actually a mansion? Was there actually a fire? Let's get the deets.
Yeah.
So, the, what she found, sorry, I don't know why I was like,
starting. Welcome to my life.
So they found that there was indeed a house on Riverdale Road. It was a mansion, 9190 Riverdale Road to be exact. Oh, and a man named David Wolpert lived there with his family.
It's always a David.
Fucking David. Just kidding. So David Wolpert, he was a very early Denver settler. He came west from Ohio.
I'm sorry, what year was this?
1859.
Okay, my brain was like loading, and then.
Yeah, no, I was just about to tell you.
Fun fact, Denver's called the Centennial State because became a state in 1876. Welcome.
Correct. So he came out west because of like the gold mining, and he was like, I'm going to be rich, you know, yeah. As many people did.
49ers.
Yeah. So he built the house in 1864 after he married his wife, Catherine Henderson. They lived there. They ended up having two girls named Lucille and Mary, and then a son named David Jr.
Fucking David.
Fucking David. David Wolpert Sr. died on October 21st, 1909.
Okay.
At the age of 75.
I was about to say, it sounds like he kind of, during that time, made it pretty far.
Yeah.
75 is pretty old.
And you got a house and you got your family living there. Like, yeah. He did pretty good, well for himself. Absolutely. Catherine died in 1915. The couple is buried in Riverside Cemetery. So you can go visit their graves if you want to.
So Riverside versus Riverdale, is there?
I don't know.
Okay.
So in the research, there was a fire. But it was 60 years after David Wolpert Sr. had died. So, obviously, I think
shit gets convoluted.
He after and the family a while. Were not living there because they yeah. were all dead.
Yeah.
It was actually starting to. Ghosts. They. Denver was trying to make it like a historical site because it was an old house from like a settler, and they were just trying to like protect it and give it like the historical.
Was the house burned down at all?
Like, it was severely damaged okay. due to a large fire.
Is it something that like you could still like, yes, it's damaged, whatever, but you could still enter it?
It's not there anymore.
Okay. I ask because there was a lot of cabins that were like in Telluride that were like abandoned, but they were like some were kind of burned, but you could still enter them.
Oh, okay.
And Keith and I, this is before we had a house, we took a picture in front of them, like, probably a place we could afford to buy. Because we thought we were really funny. Oh, my God.
You're like, living in Denver.
Do you want me to post a picture of that? It's yeah, a really funny absolutely. Picture of me and him, like, putting our hands up, like, we purchased this. We didn't. We All were right. just being over the top.
So, yeah, it was severely, severely damaged.
Did they mention where in, because you said it's an 11-mile stretch of road. Did they mention where
on said road?
Yeah, where on said road, like at the beginning or end or like middle?
No, I didn't see. Because it'd
be interesting to be in like the area where
it happened. I know where the actual area is that the house once stood. So, yeah, I don't know if I said the date, but it was November 28th, 1975. At 1 a.m. that it was reported that the house was on fire.
Okay, no, you hadn't mentioned that yet. That was going to be my next question. Yeah. It was like, when did it burn down?
So it was like pretty, pretty bad. And it just sucked because like they were trying to make it a historic site. And then they were just like, we have to just take it down.
Well, here's my question.
Then it just kind of got, people wanted to develop that area. It didn't end up getting developed, but it was kind of like
the area is pretty desolate.
They were like, is this arson? No one it
that's
it
did what's not, gonna be my next question. Was it done purposefully?
No, okay. Not that anyone reported on. Like, it wasn't like a suspicious thing. No one was,
it was
like,
just kind of an unfortunate, oh, someone did this.
It was just kind of like they don't really know the cause.
Okay.
But it didn't seem like it was like someone was trying to do it.
Yeah.
It
wasn't like vicious activity. What's it like?
It wasn't like vandalism, and it wasn't like anything that was kind of like malintent.
Yeah.
So they're not really sure how it started, but it just kind of proves that the timeline is off. Mr. Wolpert obviously was not a family annihilator. Although he did live there at one point, he did not burn it down and leave his family inside.
Well, like, he how just, fucked up. He was dead at that point for like,
yeah, for like 60 70 years. And so, contrary to the lore of the road, it's not, it didn't quite match up. It's just kind of like one of those things where it's like there's certain pieces that build the urban legend, but it's like you pick and choose to make it a story that's scary, and it just didn't. It's not true.
I mean, we all like a good story.
We all love a good ghost story.
Yeah. So for me, I'm like, oh, are we so surprised that like a story that they're like, well, this did happen, this did happen. Maybe they were a lot of years apart, but like, sure. It's a good story.
It's a great story, and it's a great story to tell. Well, here's a fun question. If you're going to go travel down this road and it's dark and spooky, like, it's a good one.
They didn't keep... Okay, here's a fun fact. Sorry, guys. You're going to be like, I'm not from Highlands Ranch Mansion. How many random fucking fake stories did you hear about that place?
Oh my God, so many.
So many.
I mean, like, we snuck in there like so many times.
Yeah. Well, now it's open for like weddings and stuff. I actually went to a wedding
there.
Well, I
mean, like at night and stuff. Like, but I'm like, not supposed to be there.
Guys, there's this mansion in Highlands Ranch, and it's like up on this hill. It's kind of...
It's really pretty.
It's very pretty. It's kind of weird, though.
It's like barny. It kind of... It's like more of a barn, I would say.
Yeah, 100%. But
they call it the mansion.
Yeah, that's what they call it. But the amount of stories that we were told about this place...
Yeah.
Oh my God, it got stretched and convoluted. And like, until I went on it like a tour and like a historian actually told us the story of what happened, it was like, why did all these fake stories come from it?
Because it's scary. And you want to scare your friends.
I mean,
got to exaggerate. You got to, like, bend the truth a little to make it scary.
Yeah, I was just like, what's a good example? I'm like, Highlands Ranch Mansion, you get it.
Yeah. So, it is in the area where the Pelican Ponds open space is now. So, like, it used to stand there. So, if we go there... that's where we would want to sort of like be, is the Pelican Ponds open space, which is like a big space, but generally that's where the house stood.
Okay. I'm looking up right now.
So we should definitely go there and like see if there's some weird, creepy occurrences.
Has public restroom, dogs allowed, picnic tables available. Guess what?
Cute. Let's make into a picnic. It. Yeah.
I just took a picture.
So, those are just a couple.
We can call. We can be like, is it haunted right now? And they're like, what are you talking about?
We're
like,
are the ghosts there?
Oh, they're not? Well, neither are we.
So, yeah, it's the most haunted road in the country.
Well, that's what I've been told. And Russ told me I need to go to it.
I'd honestly never heard of it, but.
Well, Riverdale is like the show.
I know, right?
Like
the first season of that Archie, show was so good, and then it got so weird.
I did not watch that show.
It was, the first season was good.
But I think KJ Apa is stupid good looking, and people are like,
who's that? Which one is
he? He's Archie.
He's Archie, the little redhead guy?
Yeah, I don't know what my deal is, but
he's like, attractive. I'll give him that.
He's weird. I love it. I'm into it.
Yeah.
Be weird.
Be weird. Do it.
So, do it.
Yeah, we should definitely go to the Riverdale Road.
Yeah,
we can't really go to the Skeleton and Ghost House, but we could go stand on 15th Street, almost near 16th Street.
We could take a picture of us doing it and then go to Riverdale Road.
There we go.
And then we could leave a Mysterious Maven sticker.
Okay.
We need to make stickers. Yeah. It's fine.
So those are some creepy stories. I've got some more... creepy stories.
Guys, Colorado
in the next coming weeks
is spooky.
That are specific to Colorado, just because
like it is a scary state season. There's a lot of creepy weird stuff that happened here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so yeah.
All right, well,
we'll post pictures on our Instagram. I'll post a picture of us pretending like we bought a shitty house in Telluride. It's fine.
Try not to have nightmares about ghost joggers and padiddle Camaros.
Or do, if they're nice, you know.
Yeah, because maybe the jogger's just like, hey, this road's haunted, like, you should leave.
Don't be a hoe like Janae and take off your clothes and play padiddle.
That's how you play padiddle. Anyways, we would love to hear from you if you want to email us at mysteriousmavenspod@gmail.com. We are always open for your experiences. Maybe you've been to Riverdale Road. Maybe you saw some weird shit. Let us know.
Maybe you've taken off all your clothes on padiddle. I'm sorry. I'm not. It's hilarious to me. I'm not over it. Anything in high school to take off clothes. Yeah, we also have a Facebook and TikTok. So please, if you have any social media, we don't have a Twitter or a Threads, and I don't think we're going to get those. So, you know, you can find us on most social.
We're millennials. Don't make us do things we don't want to.
Yeah, I don't want to sign up and get emails. No thanks.
I get so many. Yeah. Anyways, tell us your haunted, spooky stories. Yes. And if you have suggestions, also email those.
Oh, we love suggestions. Those get moved to the top of the pile. So
until next time, friends, self-care yourself.
Self-care for yourself.
Okay, bye.
Bye.